I tell you what, God's Word is just amazing. It's wonderful. It's where you've seen it, you know, you've read it, but just certain things stand out. That is the wonderful thing about doing expository preaching and teaching, is that you're going through the Word of God. And I'm all for a topical message. You've heard pastors say it has its place. He's done them as well. But the majority of our pastors' messages are expository. And it just, here's what it does. It lets the Word of God speak to us. And another thing about it is, God, through His Word, picks what our topics are. Does that make sense? He leads us along. I have just finished the book of Numbers today in my Bible reading. And I'm telling you what, I went and my purpose was to just really get something out of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And I tell you, it's been a blessing. It really has. Either just in our family devotions, I'll give some of that, or I've been able to go out and preach some, and God's given messages in that. And so there's something in this for us. So let's look at Judges 2, verse number 1. And hopefully you've got your outline there as well. And I will try and stay with that as close as I can, but I also have some stuff that God's given me that I want to make sure and give. So Judges 2, verse number 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, and we're going to repeat verses 1 to 5. I know we saw that last week, but for sake of context, let's look at and read it again. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. What a promise, right, from God to the children of Israel. And as we just kind of hit on it last week a little bit, about the report card, there were times whenever maybe I got a report card and I'd try and, you know, bluff my mom and say, well, you know, the teacher doesn't like me or something like that, or, you know, the teacher just missed something, or, you know, wasn't the favor or something like that. When you're talking about God as the great teacher, we can't put any of that off on Him, can we? I mean, because He's perfect. And so everything He does is just right. And so He makes the promise here. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? He presents them with the question, why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And we're going to look at that a little bit later on in the chapter. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. In other words, they're hearing about what the consequences of their sins is bringing them. And of course, they don't like that. And so they're lifting up their voice, they're weeping, but the bottom line is their conduct is not changing. True repentance in our heart over sin will bring change. It will bring change in our attitude towards sin. It will bring change in our response towards sin, our actions towards that sin. And so they lift up their voice and they weep. And quite honestly, we've seen that quite a bit in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through there, where they would do something, God would speak, He would be upset with them, then they would weep, and then they would, you know, go back into what they were doing. Verse 5, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua, verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. Verse 10. Judges 2, verse 10, if you're just coming in. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, the first generation that we saw up above, okay? And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I feel like we need to pray again. Let's pray. God, I've worked on this. You know I have. But God, I need your help to string it together. There's so much in this and such good stuff. I pray that I could give it the way that you want me to. I pray that we would stop for a moment. Be still. Help us to allow you to speak to us. Encourage us. Challenge us. Give us exactly what we need. We know you love us. You're for us. And you want to give us something. That's why we're here. That's why we're in this specific passage tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think one of the saddest things said in the Bible, and there are many difficult things, there are many sad things that are said in the Bible, but verse number 10 is this. Let's read it again. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. These words, and there arose another generation after them, which knew a little bit about God. They did not know him at all. Says, which knew not the Lord. Didn't know the Lord at all. And we're talking about the children of Israel. The children of Israel who God had led, you know, God had worked in the children of Israel's lives, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they had seen God guide and God provide and God lead them through that Red Sea, and God had worked miracles for them. God had given them water from the rock, and God had given them bread, and God had given them quails, and God had time and time again showed his mercy and showed his grace. We're going to look at that a little bit. But something takes place here where now there is a generation that does not know God. Maybe you have been blessed in your life to have a generation before you that knew God faithful and followed him faithful, and maybe even the generation before that, and maybe you can even go back three or four generations where they knew God, they served God, they followed him, you know, they understood who he was, his word had priority in their home. God mattered to that generation, and they passed it on to the next generation, and they passed it on to the next generation, and they didn't pass it on to the next generation, we see. Something happened. And the Bible says in verse 10, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. What? It makes you think a lot about your family. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter if the generation before you trained you to know the Lord and the works of the Lord. It doesn't matter whether three or four before you had trained you that way. We are all in the same situation of, will the next generation past me know the works of the Lord? Will they know the Lord? Quite honestly, it puts that responsibility on us. Think of this, if you will, with me. Something stopped. Someone stopped doing some things. We see in the outline here, the introduction is Roman numeral 1. We see Roman numeral 2, the first generation evaluation, first generation's responsibility. Let's go, if you will, to a verse that we all know very well, Joshua 24:15. The first generation was Joshua here. And the Bible says that the elders with him, they knew God. Joshua 24 had taken a stand. Remember Joshua 24, verse number 15? That great verse, Joshua 24:15. First generation responsibility was there. He took that upon himself. And he said, even at a time where there were those that maybe were wanting to turn, maybe they were wanting to not follow the Lord, but Joshua was that leader, and the elders around him seemed to have caught it as well. Joshua 24:15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua had that determination, that first generation we're talking about here, as far as the responsibility. He said, I am going to serve the Lord, and my family is going to serve the Lord as well. But there comes a time when they have passed on, the Bible says. And verse number 8, go back with me if you will, Judges 2 verse 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance. And so they have passed on, the Bible says. And this next generation, somehow, some way, they don't know the Lord and they don't know the works of the Lord. So I jotted a couple things down, and maybe I would encourage you just to write these down. Someone stopped serving God if the next generation did not know God. Someone had to make a conscientious decision that they were going to stop serving God, and that caused the next generation not to know God. The Bible would indicate to us that they had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. They had that. They had the scripture. So listen, someone stopped studying the scriptures. Hey, it's a wonderful thing for your children, grandchildren, to see you have the Word of God out in your lap. You're showing them it's important. Go with me, if you will. This is the one that I think has stood out to me the most. Go with me, if you will, to Exodus 15. Again, I read unto you, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Look, if you will, at Exodus 15, verse number 1. Someone stopped singing. Someone stopped singing. Because the next generation didn't hear those songs. Look, if you, the children of Israel, when you study the Old Testament, and you look at Psalms as well, but also throughout the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, whenever they would get in trouble and God would deliver them, what would they do? They would write a song about God and how great he is, right? And look, if you will, at Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And it goes on and on and on. These folks say, the children of Israel, they had songs about the Lord. They had songs about the blessings that God had given them. They had songs about the victories that God had given them, but they stopped singing. How many of you like to sing? I think one of the wonderful things about the Christian life and the Christian walk is when God gives you a song. And he gives us songs. I think something I really enjoy is when I get up in the morning, God's good to give me a song. And I like waking up to that. Someone stops singing, and there's a generation that doesn't know God or the works of God. What about the stories, the wonderful stories? Something's happened, and now there's a generation that does not know these stories. They don't know these songs. Look, if you will, at Deuteronomy 6. They were commanded to train or teach. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy" who? Children, right? And you could say grandchildren also. Come on now, I mean, if there's a campfire, and you've got the folks gathered around that, and they're saying, "Hey, let me tell you about that Red Sea." "Oh, Grandpa, I haven't heard about that before." "Yeah, let me tell you that story. This is what God did." And so the songs that were wonderful and the stories somehow were not passed on to the next generation. And there become a generation that didn't know God, that didn't know His wonderful works. B says, first generation neglect. There was a neglect here. Our responsibility, our primary responsibility, if you have children or you have grandchildren, make sure, even say you've got children and your children are adults and they've got kids and they're not willing to pass on for some reason the stories and the songs to their kids. What are grandma and grandpa going to do? They are going to speak up about God. I mean, there's no doubt all the grandkids know when they go to Grandma Jackson's house, she's not stopping her prayer for the meal. She's not stopping her devotions just because the grandkids have shown up. And she's not stopping talking about God. It's part of her life. It's who she is. And she is determined to do her part to pass that on to the little ones as well. It is a fight. It is a fight to pass those stories, those scriptures, and those songs on to the next generations. Because Satan's going to fight it. He is going to fight it as hard as he can. Go back with me, if you will, to Judges 2. I tell you, I love hearing our daughter just pipe up and sing in the back seat. That's something I always wanted. I told my wife that. I said, "I hope she sings, because I like to sing, you know." And they may do a little bit of that when it's going on in the car, but I like to sing. And I told her, "I hope she does." And she really likes the Ron Hamilton stuff, and she'll just, man, that does something for me. Somehow, some way, songs got put in that little heart. But again, listen, folks, just because that's there doesn't mean it's always going to be there. We have got to work that thing. We have got to cultivate that. We have got to purpose in our hearts to continue that path so that the generations after us will know the stories of God, the songs of God, but they will know the scriptures. Judges 2. Roman numeral 3, the second generation indulgence. Folks, there's a reason why all of this happened with them, and that's because God had told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land, and they disobeyed. There's an application there for us. If we don't do right, and if we compromise, and if we wash the wrong things, and if we say the wrong things, and we allow the wrong things in our house, folks, that is going to affect that generation that's under us. If they see us come to church whenever it works out, or if, and I know we are here, we, by God's grace, we're here Wednesday night, we're striving to be faithful every service, but it matters if they see us miss. They watch, they see all things. I'm telling you, our daughter's got a memory like, I'm like, wow. Remembers everything. Sees everything. I noticed that when she was a baby. We would have her crawling around and she'd pick up something. And I mean, it was so minute. And we're like, how in the world did she see that? But those eyes caught it, right? And so you got to go get it out of her hand. Those that are below us, meaning kids, grandkids, they see everything. So verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Folks, we're going to serve someone. We're going to either serve God, we're going to serve ourselves, or we're going to serve, quote unquote, a false god, like is what's being seen here. Served Balaam. Verse 12, but it doesn't stop there. A generation that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know the works of the Lord, but takes up here serving Balaam, the Bible says. And remember, in Exodus 20, they were told, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? And so, verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And so what we see here very clearly is, since they did not drive the inhabitants out, the inhabitants' gods and pagan religions stayed, and it influenced them. Remember what Joshua said, but as for me and my house, he's telling you, choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when that passed, when that ceased to be amongst the children of Israel, then the Bible says they picked up a pagan god and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, verse 12, of the gods of the people that were round about them. They compromised. Because they didn't drive out the inhabitants. You know what, folks? Let us be called old fuddy-duds, if you will, or, wow, you are so narrow-minded that you don't do this, that, and the other. That's okay. Amen. There are some things in the Word of God that are worth standing for, worth fighting for, and God calls us to do that. We're not to live as the world does. The world does not define or dictate who we are as a Christian. And by the way, we'll never please them. How many times have you heard, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it, right? The world seems to know real well what they think a Christian should be and should not be. Our responsibility is to God Himself. It is to the Word of God. And we must stand for what's right regardless of what other people say. Well, I don't want them at work. I'm the only one that doesn't cuss. So be it. You're the only one that doesn't cuss. Because you start living that at work and it's coming home with you eventually. It's going to slip eventually. And those that are around us are going to say, wait a second here. Daddy or grandpa or grandma or whoever, they told us before we're not supposed to do that. Now look. Look, it's this compromise. And listen, folks, we've seen this in America. America's changed. Christians in America have changed. We have now a time where there are kids, there are people that do not know who God is, and they don't have the Word of God in their hands. So, follow me, if you will, here in verse number 12. And followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto the Lord and provoked the Lord to anger. So we see Israel forsakes God. That's A. God becomes angry about it. So let's look here. Verse 13, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. So God says, you want to stop following me? You want to forsake me? You refuse to sing the songs that were given to you? You reject the stories? You don't know God? And now you're following this idol because you've allowed the wrong things to come in? You've allowed the wrong people to influence you? And God says, I will not sign off on that. He says, I will not bless that. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, so God became angry. B, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was what? Against them for evil. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. I want to be able to say this correctly so you get this. Am I on, brother? No?
Nope, you need to turn it on.
Am I on now?
No.
I hit it, but maybe I didn't hit it right. Am I on now? Okay, I'll just go with the mic. I want to show you some things here. We see a digression, if you will. First of all, we see that Joshua followed the Lord, followed him faithfully. God blessed him. God blessed his home because Joshua was faithful. Then there comes up a problem, an issue where the generation beyond them doesn't know the Lord. They choose to follow a false god. They stop reading the scriptures. They stop singing the songs, if you will. They stop telling the stories. They stop training that next generation. And God spoils them, allows them to be spoiled. And God says to them, now get this, this is so important. God says to them, look, I'm not going to bless you. And all those victories, you've got the enemy living amongst you. And before I would give you strength to conquer them, because you were following me and you were looking to me and you were trusting me, he says, I'm not going to do that anymore because you're not following me. But not only that, look at what it says at the end of verse 15. And they were greatly distressed. Was God greatly distressed? God was disappointed, obviously. God was upset. But this is talking about the children of Israel who knew not God. There's a pattern here. You don't follow God, you don't get the victories. Now I'm talking about the generations here. You don't follow God, God's not given the victories and the blessings. As a matter of fact, the enemy's going to overcome you, and it is going to be distressing to us. Why are so many Christians living a distressed life, living a down life, living a defeated life? Because they've given up God and the Word of God and the songs and the stories and the speaking to the others. And so that affects us because we are the temple of God. And when we do not, listen, if someone is saved, if they are a child of God, God has made a covenant with us. That covenant is that we are going to heaven when we die. But listen, in order for us to have victories, in order for us to have blessings in our life, in order for us not to be distressed, we're going to have to follow God the way He wants us to. He's going to have to be first in our life. We're going to have to say, God, for me, my family, my work, my ministry, whatever it is, God, you're first in my life. I'm following you. I want your perfect will. I'm willing to let go the things I should let go, and I'm willing to have a heart that's right with you. That is what God will bless. That is what God will give victories to. And now we see the grace of God. Verse 6. That's C. God raised up judges. God raised up judges. A couple things to see here, and that's the wonderful grace of God. In spite of their disobedience, in spite of them seeking to have a pagan god, I mean, this goes so much against what they had, the generations before them. It was God. Now, there were fights, there were battles, obviously, but, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And look, if you will, verse number 16, and I love the grace of God. Verse 16, nevertheless, what a big word. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Folks, that is the grace of God shown to the children of Israel when they were turning their backs on Him. Look, if you will, with me to Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. I love this. You ever seen the grace of God in your life? You ever seen God work, God reach out, get involved whenever we weren't living as we should? Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not." Isn't that a tremendous blessing? His compassions fail not. He doesn't cut us off like we cut people off when they've wronged us. He's such a wonderful God. He loves us. Look at verse 23. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And God's reaching down and he's showing some mercy by giving these judges. The judges were sent to try to help the children of Israel that were forsaking him. Go with me, if you will, to John 1, and we know this verse, but let's just look at it. John 1, verse number 14. God raised up judges. It's because he's merciful. Because the Bible says that he is full of grace. John 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh," John 1:14, "the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the image of God the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. We have a God that's full of grace. We have a God whose mercies never fail. We have a God that's faithful to the end. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that's willing not just to leave us to ourselves, but to get involved if we are his. Look with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. A God willing to get involved in our life. And that's what he was doing with the children of Israel. He loved them. Listen, he hadn't done anything to cause them to forsake him. He hadn't done anything to deserve that. Hebrews 12, verse number 5. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 5, Hebrews, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, look at this, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." One of the most wonderful things that we must remember every time, I strive to do this every time that I preach, is even when God gives a challenging message and it's like, you know, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, we're not doing this. Wait a second. As long as there's life, there's hope. And God loves us enough to work in our lives when we are not doing the things we should be doing and when we are not who he wants us to be. He works. Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" In other words, what kind of father would it be, or a mother, and there's no chastening? There's going to be a real question mark here. Are they his? Are they hers? Clear indication of being a child of God is if you're not living right, God is going to be involved. He's going to be working. He's going to be chastening. Look at verse 7. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Verse 8. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers." Look at that. That is so clear. That is so plain. Verse 8 again. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers." Amen. Who's that referring to all there? Everyone that's saved. If you are a child of God and you are not living for God, the Bible says all are going to be partakers of his chastisement if you are his. If you're not, verse 8 says, "Then are ye bastards and not sons." If you're not seeing the chastening hand. And you know what, folks? Listen, quite honestly, if you have a child or a grandchild and they have professed Christ, but I mean they have not darkened the door of the church in 20 years, and there seems to be, and I'm saying seems to be, no chastening in their life, I would pray for their salvation. Amen. Just to make sure, you know, God, I don't know if they're saved or not. If they're not saved, would you convict them of this? Would you work in their life? And again, I don't know the hearts of every individual, so I'm not going to start sitting out saying who is and who isn't. But God does know, and God gives us a guidance here. But here's what I want us to see here. God has a purpose. And that purpose of the correction is to restore us unto Himself. That purpose of correction is to get us on the right path so that we would follow Him the way that we're supposed to follow Him. So verse 5 says, don't despise it. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. We're going somewhere. Go back with me, if you will, to Judges 2. And God raised up judges to show mercy, to try and get the attention of the children of Israel who had cast God aside, who had cast the scriptures aside, who had cast the songs aside, the stories aside, the service aside, the speaking and training to their kids. They had cast it all aside. And so God in His mercy comes and He says, look, He says, I'm not going to give you those victories. You are going to be distressed. You should be distressed. You're my children and you're not living like you are. And so He brings the judges to try and encourage them to come back to Him. Verse 17, and that's D, God tested Israel. And yet they would not, verse 17, they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. Verse 17, they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. God just said, follow me like your fathers did, but they did not so. God sends the judges to remind them of who He is, but they did not receive it. Verse 18, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the day of the judge, for repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppress them and vex them. So not only are they distressed, they are pressed, they are vexed. Again, I say to you, children of God, if we are not walking with God the way He wants us to, we will be distressed, we will be oppressed, there's no doubt we will be vexed because the Holy Spirit of God is grieved in us. So the answer for that is not a medication. It's getting right with God. And obviously we need medicines and this, that, for this, but what I'm saying is when I'm disturbed, When I'm oppressed, when I'm distressed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, sometimes we just have the wrong attitude. But, well, I said that and I'm in it. And you know you're grieved because the Holy Spirit's grieved. And we just have to get our heart right with Him. It's not turn on and watch a Western. Do this or that or the other. Let's get our heart right with God. Get on our knees or bow our heart before Him so we can have that peace in our heart again. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Wow, so clear. God help us not to be stubborn. Amen? Amen. He was showing mercy. They rejected it. What does God do? And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. And that's heartbreaking, isn't it? Isn't it a wonderful thing to hear the preaching? Pastor, this last week, wonderful messages. Wonderful messages. Praise the Lord. That's a privilege. It's a blessing to have God speak to your heart. Give you something. That your heart is uncluttered. You're coming in with a heart that says, feed me, dear God. Give me something. And he does. And that's a clear indication that your heart's in tune with him and you're striving to listen to him. Let's read verses 20 to 23. We're really done. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people had transgressed my covenant, which I command their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And he's like saying, you want them? You got them. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this, God gives us a free will. So that means that God is not going to, at 6 in the morning or whenever you get up, he's not going to just open the Bible, bring it right to you, sit it right there on your lap, and he wants us to go get the Bible and set it on our lap with our dog right next to us, cup of coffee. You know what? That's a highlight of my day. I love that. But we have to choose to do that. And he's saying to the children of Israel, heartbreaking situation, he's saying, you want what you want, so you get it. And he left. He left the pagans among them. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all of the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them more, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. I wrote this down and we're done. God left the heathen amongst them so that they could see who they were, who was with them that wasn't supposed to be with them, and if they would turn their heart back to God, the enemy would not be able to enslave them. But should they be rebellious, the Lord would abandon them to their foes. Verse 3 says, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites. Verse 4, and they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Verse 5, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God left them there so that every time they walked out their door, they saw, wait a second, look at that Hivite. He's not supposed to be here. What are we doing? Or, well, there's that Hivite, let's go do something. They had a choice to make. Folks, when we walk out the doors here, we make choices. Who we're going to hang around, who we're going to pick up the phone and call, you know, how we're going to be at work, how we're going to be with the next generation, those around us. May God help us that it never be said of the generation amongst us and those coming behind us that we failed to teach them the stories, the songs, the scriptures. Let us be faithful to the end. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the scriptures tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. God, I see a loving God in this portion of scripture. You just wanted to be known. You wanted to be first. You showed mercy, grace, so many times. God, you've done that for us. God, if we reflect on our lives, we see the grace of God in our lives. We see your grace. We see your love. We see your mercy, that you're for us. Yes, you've worked in our lives. You've challenged us, given us trials, difficulties. But God, may we have the determination, as Joshua had, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord to the end. And by your grace, we will finish well for you. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. Mrs. Jones would like to give testimony real quick. If you just come on up here. Oh.